The Toddcast Podcast. Follow on Instagram and Twitter at Toddcast Podcast.
Thank you for doing this. Thanks for taking the time for the Toddcast in Vancouver, Canada.
Yeah, how's it going? How long have you been doing it?
Good, man. This is my fifth year, actually. Yeah, it's been a while. I mean, you know, of course, we talked several times over the years, you know, as the afternoon host at CFOX, but I think you may have even co-hosted a couple of shows over the years. Yeah, but man, I'm really looking forward to seeing you guys. It's been a long time for me since I've seen Our Lady Peace. Of course, you're coming through for Canada Day, headlining at the Bill Reid Millennium Amphitheater in Surrey.
Very cool.
And dude, have you heard how many people they're expecting to attend over that day?
I have not.
It's insane.
Over, like, more than 10?
Big numbers, man. Like 100,000 people are expected to roll through.
Wow.
Right?
Crazy. Well, it's a great day to celebrate, man. And now the Raptors, I'm even a happier Canadian.
Right, I know. And how about, I know, of course, you're a huge Raptors fan. You know, actually, I think there was a, let me read through my my prep here. A guy named Neil Collins, was asking about the shootings. Did you, as a big Raptor fan, did you make it to the parade? And are you surprised that there was a shooting?
I'm kind of bummed there was a shooting. I wasn't there. We were on tour with Bush and Live down in the U.S., so.
Oh, nice.
Couldn't make the parade, but. I mean, watch from afar.
So good, right?
Not gonna lie, I had actual I was tearing up a bit. I was so proud.
Yeah.
But look, 1.5 to 2 million people in a closed environment like that.
Pretty amazing.
We got away pretty easy, even though there was a shooting. You know, it could have been worse.
Yeah. What's the biggest crowd that Our Lady Peace has played for?
Probably Woodstock. I think there was. I was standing on stage. We went on, I think, right after Willie Nelson in the afternoon on a Saturday, and
cool.
I couldn't see the end of the heads. So I heard there was like 200 plus thousand people there. So that was, but you know, I don't know. I'm sure there's a number. I'm not a scientist, but I know there's a number where you can't really tell anymore. Anyway, you know.
And that was the one, no doubt.
Yeah, there you go.
At this point of your career. I mean, it must be fun putting together the set list with so many singles and stuff. Like, how do you decide what's making it in and what are you going to cover, maybe, if you throw a cover song in?
Yeah, I mean, when we're on a tour, we definitely try to, like, that tour we did across Canada with Matt Good last year, definitely tried to, like, change it up every night just to keep it fresh for us. And we definitely, you know, I think we understand we have fans that travel and see, you know, a bunch of different shows. So just to respect the artistry and not being a machine and just trying to put on the same show every night, we try to flip it around. And now we down in the U.S. on this Bush and Live tour, we've been playing a new song, so we'll probably throw that in.
Oh, cool.
And so, yeah, so, I mean, you want to do it for yourself on a selfish level as an artist to keep it fresh, but then as well for fans, you know, you try to keep it interesting. I know Pearl Jam does a great job at that, so we kind of take cues from them.
Oh yeah, that's amazing. Those guys can do you know, 5 nights in a row and never play the same song unless they want to. You know, their catalog is deep. How much of your stuff are you going to be playing off the first and second records? Back to the Neil was wondering. He's hoping that you'd consider playing Birdman.
Huh. We might pull that out.
Great
that's
song.
Definitely something. Yeah,
one of my favorites for sure.
Thank you.
Yeah. I mean, that first, without blowing smoke, Rain, and I think I've told you this before, I mean, I've probably played the Navid record, you know, easy top five most played albums in my life. Easy.
Wow.
Top three, man. I mean, it's, for me, it's one of those records that's just untouchable. Like, it literally, it is. It's one of those records, start to finish, it's solid. Like, you're recording this record, you got it, and it was with who again? You were recording with Lang?
That record?
Lang?
Yeah, that record was with Arnold, yes.
Yeah, and you guys had to know something's up. Like, not to suggest that you were thinking, okay, I'm going to have the longevity that you guys have had, but you had to know something was up when you're making that record.
I think, you know what it is, Todd? I think it was the opposite, man. We didn't know what was up. We were just doing what we wanted to do and having fun, and like, we signed a record deal with Sony, but they didn't care. Like, they gave us a little bit of money. I think their expectations were pretty low. And so the good thing about that was they just let us to our own devices. So we're just up in this little studio, like north of Toronto, and no one cared until we finally delivered a record. I'm like, wow, this is actually pretty good. And so it's all history from there. But that was like the naivety of a bunch of kids making a record without anyone looking over their shoulders. That was the brilliance of Naveed for sure.
Mm-hmm. All right, Rain, I'd love to go back to the beginning. Before you're in any sort of bands, what is the music in the Maida household as you're a kid growing up? Like, what are the bands
Elvis, man.
That your parents are playing?
Elvis. All Elvis. Elvis, that's it. Yeah, it's great. And it wasn't even through playing music. It was more like my memories of Elvis were like watching old movies on a Sunday afternoon with my dad, like old Elvis movies. And that's, you know, so you I would never say he was an influence, but he must be in some way, you know. I think more so now, especially with the stuff that I'm doing with Chantel and seeing some of my solo records, I was able to integrate just more of that kind of that lower voice, Leonard Cohen, the Elvis thing, and I definitely get it, you know, when I'm listening. I mean, look, in my top list of 20 songs, Suspicious Minds is probably up there by Elvis anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So that was it.
And which were the first bands to like really grab a hold of you?
I got into the Stones pretty early. Sticky Fingers, that was a big record for me. I got into Nebraska by Springsteen was big. U2, Unforgettable Fire. It was like Bjork and this Indian singer named Sheila Chandra.
Who got you down that path?
I don't even know. I was a fan of, I saw a friend of mine took me to a Nusrat Fateh Ali Khan, who's an Indian singer, just a phenomenal, you know, vocal range, to one of his concerts. And through that got him like Gabriel's The Real World. He has a label in a studio in England called Real World. And, you know, very world music-esque. But then Faith No More kind of like brought me back to earth. And like, nice. Mike Patton.
Mike, stuff is yeah, so good, he's, right?
He's, guy's one of my biggest influences by far.
Right. Yeah, his music. I mean, what do you like the best of his stuff? I mean, I thought the Tomahawk stuff is incredible as well. I mean, everybody, of course, always cites, you know, Faith No More, but his body of work is incredible.
Yeah, from Mr. Bungle to Tomahawk, the stuff he does with that French dude, like everything he does is just very original. He's an original, right? Like,
yeah.
He basically started the whole rap rock thing without even doing rap rock. Like, he was just doing his thing, and it transcended into this bigger movement. But that guy is just like, you know, I mean, I listened to that Lionel Richie cover of Easy.
Right.
Quite often, man, you know, like, it's sick. It's insane.
It's so good, yeah.
Yeah.
What was the first band that you saw live? Like, what was your first concert?
First concert was AC/DC.
Wow. Okay, that's setting the bar. How old are you for AC/DC? What record is it? What tour?
I think I'm 13. I think it is that Back in Black, and then it was at the Gardens, and it just came over me like it shook.
Wow.
Yeah, it shook me to the core. You know, it was like, holy shit, and
yeah,
and to see people standing, I'd never experienced a concert like that where it's like everyone stood up right at the beginning, never sat down, and they just slayed. You know, it was just I don't know, 90 some odd minutes of like, holy shit. It just like blew my hair back and really showed me like how powerful. And then I saw in that same year, I saw Van Halen with David Lee Roth.
Another crusher.
It was, but it was cool because there was a difference, right? It's like AC/DC was this powerful rock band and Van Halen was like more of a spectacle. Like, it was a show. Like, he was such an entertainer.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so it helped set the bar for me in terms of like, making that distinction, and then seeing like Springsteen or Sinead O'Connor, like I was like, okay, there's artists and then there's entertainers. And I was like, I'm too like introverted to be an entertainer. I can't bring out swords and do karate on stage. So I'm going to go this other route.
That's not happening. Yeah. You know, and dude, AC/DC still present day. I mean, these guys have to be what, like late 60s, maybe. Yeah. So I don't want to like, you know, insult them. They're definitely old dudes. But man, even today, those guys throw down. Like, it is crazy how good they are. Crazy.
Killer. I think it has to do with like the arrangements and like there's a really clever simplicity in their music. So it still stands the test of time, right? It's classic. It's like like Rick Rubin. There's something about it that is just timeless.
Right. Absolutely. And does it get any easier making albums over the years?
I think so. Yeah, I have way more fun with it now. Like our last album, Somethingness. One of my favorite recording experiences ever, just because it was, you learn, there's like that moment we were talking about Naveed, we had naivety and we just did what felt right. And then as you get success, you like stumble over your own feet sometimes and you have other people's in your ear and it becomes a little bit more tricky. And then you get to a place again where you get a little bit of wisdom as an artist and you're like, fuck it, man, I'm going back. And so we're back in that naive place where if it doesn't feel right, we won't force it, and we just do what feels good, which is an amazing place to be.
Yeah, no doubt. You know, I'd love to get to some. I mean, I'm looking at so many Our Lady Peace fan questions, and I want to make sure I get these in, and I don't want to occupy your time with all of my questions. So Brian's wondering, what are you currently binge watching?
Just finished Chernobyl.
Who's in that?
I don't know, man. It's this crazy HBO 5-part miniseries on Chernobyl. And it's shot really well. And it kind of, I get, you know, there's a lot of controversy around it, but it tells the story of Chernobyl, you know, and what happened with that whole disaster in terms of, you know, they had a basically a meltdown at the nuclear reactor there. And it really goes through all the events kind of leading up to it and then what they did after, and they messed up, man. Like, they didn't want to, you know, there's a pride thing, right? They didn't want to tell people around the world what really happened. But it bit them in the ass because, you know, having that nuclear reactor kind of implode was bad for, you know, thousands and thousands and hundreds of thousands of square miles around Chernobyl, and it got into the water table. And I think they still don't really know the effects of it. And it's just, you know what? It's really creepy to watch, though, but it's fascinating. It's like this weird thing where you can't pull your eyes away, but, man, is it dark.
Oh yeah, I mean that's
so dark.
Yeah, because they're making an educated guess as to, you know, what the environmental impact is of something like that. That's a guess.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And then I love Barry. I just watched the second season of Barry, which is brilliant.
Okay. And did you get into the Game of Thrones and all that? Were you all up in arms about the way it ended?
You know, man, I've never watched it.
Never have.
I haven't watched it. Yeah. No, I'm always late. I'm a little bit late to the party in those things, but I might get there.
Yeah.
I'm not a big sci-fi guy, but even people I know that aren't say it's pretty dope. So
yeah,
one day
is good. Yeah,
yeah.
Steve's got a question. I wanted to know the same thing as well. He goes, "How did you find having the camera follow you around, you and Chantel around while you're making the new movie? What was that like?"
Yeah, I mean it was by design, right? He's talking about I'm Gonna Break Your Heart. Like that documentary that we made was really. The purpose was to document Chantel and I making our first record together. You know, we wanted that kind of for our own keepsake for our kids.
Yeah, that's cool.
It's great. We went off to this little French island and isolated ourselves because that was the only way we were going to make this. We tried for 5 years, but with all the distractions and, you know, touring and careers and all the other stuff, it's like we always made excuses. So we finally booked time there and booked some cameras. It was really, you know, a tight little crew, but when we came back and started editing, it's like you couldn't take out the personal stuff and like some of the fights that we get into and some of the, you know, just the ups and downs of like a relationship.
But that's
right?
Life, you know, like if that's not it. In there, it just would feel weird, wouldn't it?
Yeah, and that's what we felt. It's like we have to keep this stuff in, otherwise it's so inauthentic. We're just assholes. So that's basically what happened.
Jared wants to know, and I'm curious too. What did you think of the Motley Crue movie? Have you even seen it?
I did, actually. I hate to admit that I watched that, but I did on a plane ride. And it was all right. I mean, it's funny. We toured with Guns N' Roses last summer.
Awesome.
And, and that was a trip. And I think there's, I don't know, Motley Crue was, like, definitely a step below for me. And, I don't know, it kind of glamorized, you know, parts of life that I don't think you should glamorize, especially these days. Like, it felt a little bit out of touch, but whatever. It was what it was. Rock and roll was different back then. Attitudes were different. And I just think it kind of, like, defined the word cliche for me.
As a fan of the band, I was kind of like, it's okay, I guess. I don't know. I don't know what I was hoping for.
Yeah, I thought Machine Gun Kelly was good. He played a good Tommy Lee.
Yeah. Yeah, he was the most believable, for sure. Nick writes, who's your favorite superhero and your superhero movie?
Superhero movie. I'm still I go to something like The Punisher, man. I'm bummed they canceled that Netflix, but that first Punisher movie, I think it was Thomas Jane was his guy's name.
Right.
I like that. It's realistic, right? I mean, I dig that.
Netflix series was pretty good. I mean, it was getting to that.
I thought it was good, man.
Yeah, it was really getting to where
they canceled it.
Frank Castle was like The Punisher. He's just a mean killer, really. Yeah,
with a backstory that
right,
justifies it.
Sure.
Exactly.
Yeah. Here's an interesting one. Do you believe aliens have visited Earth?
That's a tough one. I mean, part of me thinks how could it not happen, especially when you start talking about the universe and where we're at. But there was something that happened a couple weeks ago that felt like when you had like officials saying they saw some crazy shit in the sky, but. I can't imagine they haven't, but then I can't imagine if they had, why they wouldn't, like...
Be here?
Decimate. They wouldn't be here or, like, just take our shit.
Or maybe, maybe they are here.
Yeah, there you go. Yep. Shape shifting.
Exactly.
Yeah.
There's a movie or a song probably in there somewhere. What are your thoughts on legalized marijuana?
I think it's a long time coming. I'm glad Canada is kind of at the forefront. You know, living in LA, it's been here for the last year and a bit. So,
right.
I'm not a big proponent of the pharmaceutical companies. That's another discussion, but, there's gotta be a balance in the way that it's done. Like, you know, I'm glad that people are allowed to grow their own because, you know, the medicinal benefits are real and, about time,
it's
21st century, dude.
Right, of course, it should have been ages ago. The interesting thing, you were saying that you can grow, you can, but in British Columbia, if you grow and it's visible to somebody and they take, you know, issue with it, you can get a $5,000 fine for that.
Right.
Like, I brushed up enough to know, like, you know, it's quote-unquote legalized, but it's not really legalized. Like it's getting,
that's what I mean. Like
it's getting
like there. Everything. Yeah, like everything. The regulations. And hopefully it's like just more of like a learning process in terms of like the powers that be in terms of what this thing is, and you know, I mean, compared to what alcohol does, and like what you just said, like you can grow it, but you can only grow so much. You know,
right. You can't be visible.
Italian grandmother made wine since I was like 2 years old in the garage.
Right.
I don't think there's ever a limit on that.
I don't think so. They should be basing it off that. Didn't I read something about the state of Washington since they legalized in 2014? They've now crossed over $1 billion. They've made $1 billion off of marijuana just in that one state.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look, the reason it's legalized in Canada is money, right?
Well, that's here too. Totally. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But again,
even though they, you know, short-sighted, they should be looking at the medicinal benefits and clothing and textiles and everything else. Like, it's amazing the way that it's been, you know, bastardized. Amazing.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look, all the greatest inventions come from the military, and it's all monetary driven, right? It's all like it always comes back to that. But at the end of the day, kind of, we'll forget how it happened and why it happened, and the fact that just people are having, you know, better quality of life because of it.
Right. Right. Rain, thank you again for doing this. I have two more questions and then I'll let you go. An oddball and then the tough one. Have you ever had a near-death experience?
Yeah, I mean, I can't remember what it was. There was a festival we did, like a radio festival in the U.S., and I was feeling extra brave, and usually kind of these big festivals, even like Woodstock and stuff, I'll climb up the towers, like the side staging, and
right.
To get a better look at the audience, and it's I've always enjoyed like being up there and having that kind of bird's eye view on what's going on. And this one place, I think I just got up a little bit too high, and my footing slipped, and I was holding on the microphone, so I was only holding on with the one arm, but my arm slipped down, like I slipped down a whole column, but I was able to catch myself. Oof. Thank God. And man, it could have. Yeah, I don't know if I would have died, but I might
falls.
Not be talking to you right now.
Right, exactly.
Yeah,
exactly. And what is the career highlight? Can you pick one thing, or is it just like, no, dude, way too hard?
I mean, opening for the Ramones in Jersey was pretty high up there.
Wow.
Yeah, back like on the beat, like in whatever, 95.
It was awesome. You know, I just actually had CJ Ramone as a guest maybe a couple of weeks back.
Did you? Did you really?
That's I did,
so
yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, just being able to kind of, I don't know, just be amongst that. You know, I it's like one of those moments. And then Robert Plant asking me about, like, the lyrics for Naveed. Like, just saying, hey, man, we're on tour with him. And he just came up to me and said, I just want to let you know how much I really appreciate, you know, the lyrics on that album, and I'd love to sit down and talk to you about them one day. I was like, okay, did that really just happen, man, or is that like an imposter?
That's incredible. Like, Zepp is, you know, easy top five band for me, top three. I mean, maybe number one, Beatles, Zepp.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. Where do you go? You go Zeppelin or you go Beatles?
It's tough. You know, I think more and more I appreciate Zeppelin. Like, the Beatles are just incredible songwriters and arrangers and everything, but they weren't really a band per se, because those guys wrote songs separately, you know, and brought them in. Where I feel like Zeppelin was this band, and that's what you hear and recorded live, and it was like, it's just like the fact when you hear them on the radio today, and it's just like jumps out of the speakers still. It's no one's been able to do that, you know, that no one's been able to capture that kind of energy as a band since then. So. Probably them over the Beatles.
Mm-hmm. Rain, thank you for taking the time. Your band is simply at Our Lady Peace on online, and you are at Rain Maida online. Pretty simple to find you guys.
Yeah, man.
And we'll see you for Canada Day in Surrey. Otherwise, I guess we'll see you guys online.
Yeah, thanks, Todd. Appreciate it, man. Great talking to you.
Okay, take care.
Subscribe at iTunes at Toddcast Podcast.